In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's do a little stock up, stock down. Winners and losers from the Texans this weekend following their 20-12 win over the Steelers. A lot of good performances. A lot of performances that are going to impact some decisions here pretty soon. Here was D'Amico Ryans on what he saw from the first team offense and first team defense in the snaps they played on Friday.
I think both of our units went out and made plays. Offensively, we were efficient. Loved CJ, the Tank, that connection, making a big play for us. Tank getting in the end zone. Happy to just see him back. And we lost Tank last year to the injury, and you see why we missed him, right? He's a big play threat every time he's on the field. So I was excited to see that connection make a big play for us. And defensively, seeing Daniil step up and get after the quarterback is why we got him here, right? To get after the quarterback, and that's what he showed in his limited snaps. But he did a really great job of getting after the quarterback, being disruptive up front. Like, that's what we expected. So excited to see what Daniil did as well.
All right, Seth, which freak would you like to start with first, Tank Dell or Daniil Hunter?
Daniil Hunter is the freak of nature that I'm most excited about, just because I was already excited about Tank Dell. We've seen him moving around. We've seen that he's completely recovered from all of his various medical issues, I think. And Daniil Hunter, it's like it takes a special human being to screw up a screen as a defensive end, because that was like a split screen where they had two options on it, and some of the offensive linemen were moving out towards the screen, but the offensive tackle was supposed to block Daniil Hunter, or at least if you're going to, you let him win, but not let him win so fast. And he made it very, very uncomfortable for Justin Fields in that moment. And then the sack was just purely like, all right, you can't leave the right tackle alone versus Daniil Hunter. He just ran around him like he was a fence post.
Yeah.
You know? And then Justin Fields, I feel like Justin Fields left his testicles on the field after that play. He went down with like a swipe of the wrist.
Yeah.
Or a flick of the wrist.
Yeah.
That was like a Yordan Alvarez home run.
Yes.
Where it doesn't even look like he swung the bat and it goes 450 feet.
Yeah.
Justin Fields went down like a sack of potatoes because Daniil Hunter laid his hands on him.
Yep.
It looked like it was ordained by God or something.
This is how you know Minnesota as a state is completely like off the grid. When you're playing up there, yeah, you're toiling in anonymity. Daniil Hunter has been a very respected player in the NFL for a long time, I think, within NFL circles. That he's this freaky and he doesn't get the attention, and because he's got the numbers to back up the freakiness. You know what I mean? It's not like he's been some guy that is this specimen who you go, well, someday he's going to get double-digit sacks, like Clowney. You know, or no, like he's been averaging double-digit sacks every year for as long as he's been in the league. He had 16 and a half last year and damn near led the league in sacks. And
yeah.
And it's just like now you're like, okay, this guy's this freaky, and he has not gotten the requisite level of attention for someone who's got just this level of pop. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's really cool to see him out there on the field. And there's no Will Anderson out there.
Yep.
And other guys too. We'll get to the Tank in 3 seconds. Jerry Hughes showed up in that game. Like the defensive tackles, Mario Edwards and Foley Fatakasi, Sean. I'll do a YouTube breakdown of this later. It's one of my most favorite plays I've ever seen out of two defensive tackles. On one of those stuffs up the middle, it might have looked like a jumble of humanity, but they just absolutely destroyed the blocking on one of those plays. And the defensive line is coming along. Tank Dell, I think, his touchdown was the exact thing that you hope to happen when you have so many receiving threats on the field all at once.
It's wide open spaces.
He was wide open. It puts people into a bind, and defenders' brains turn to liquid and run out their ears because you've got a really good receiver crossing the field in front of you, and yet you're in zone, and Tank Dell is hitting that void in the zone, and C.J. Stroud's hitting him right on time and in rhythm with a perfect pass. And then, because he's got room to run, Tank Dell gets a touchdown out of something that maybe should have gotten stopped at like the 10, but he breaks a face mask and another attempted tackle. That was really fun to see, because otherwise the offense had been kind of disjointed up to that point.
Yeah. I mean, one big play like that gets you feeling good about it. And Tank had a 22-yard punt return that helped set up that touchdown. So that was like a Tank Dell sequence right there. Tank chatted with Mike Garofolo of the NFL Network on the field after the game and said it felt good to be back.
250 days since you last played in a live game. 250 long days right back in the end zone. How did that feel?
It felt great, man. I want to give all the glory to God, you know, just to come out here, you know, healthy, feeling good, man. You, like you said, 250 days since I stepped on the field and played in the NFL game. So I'm just excited, I'm happy, and I'm thankful.
Were you not going to go down, because you got hit there before you got in the end zone? Were you thinking you're not going down?
I wasn't going down. Nah, I had to get back in there, man. It felt good getting back in there. I had to.
Yeah, so that was Tank. Felt good to get into the end zone. Here was C.J. Stroud. Felt good to have Tank back in the lineup with him.
Yeah, he's tough, man. You know, he's resilient. You know, you can't deny it. Just pure, just one God-given talent, but also just like hard work. You see, you know, the work that he puts in day in and day out. And you know, I think every time he touches field, you see it, and it's put on display. So, you know, I think it's just a start for him, and he's going to continue to grow and grow. And, you know, it's amazing to get one of my best friends back on the field.
Yeah, that was cool to see, man. You're right, dude. Tank, and we'll talk about this in Acknowledge Me, but Stephon Diggs, it was really cool to see Stephon Diggs. If you watch the All-22, as soon as Tank catches the ball, Diggs has his arms up like this. He's like Rocky at the top of the steps at the museum. You know?
Yeah, that was and also too, the other, since I know a lot of people probably saw this, the footage from the broadcast where Stephon Diggs was talking to C.J. Stroud on the sideline.
Yeah.
And many people chose to interpret that as Stephon Diggs being a problem already.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw that as just Stephon Diggs talking about what he's going to do in certain situations, like the actual shop talk that goes on the sideline.
Yeah.
But I can understand somebody from Buffalo looking at that and interpreting it as the worst. It was, if you could do a lip reading on it, and or not a lip reading, but one of those fake lip readings and make it look really bad.
Yeah.
I honestly tried to remove all the filters and just watch it, and I think it was exactly what you actually want out of Stephon Diggs.
100%.
And what we've seen from all training camp is him getting very animated and passionate talking about nuts and bolts football.
Yeah, I think it's just how he communicates. So we'll get to that. That might be a stock down, but so Tank, great to see him back making plays. Danielle Hunter is going to be a terror this year. A couple other ones, Seth, that I think are going to impact some battles here in certain position groups. I think a lot like the Hall of Fame game, if you look at Cam Akers' box score, you go, all right. He had 9 touches for 41 yards, you know, 3 catches, 6 carries. Nothing killer if you just look at the box score. And yet, if you watch the game, and it was the reaction to it after the game, doing the post game was the same as what I'm about to say among Texan fans, is like it seems like there's just more there with Cam Akers than not just Damian Pierce, but the other guys that are getting the football now.
Yeah, and a lot of that just boils down to the stuff that's harder to pin exactly, other than to say he's just got better vision and a better feel for the offense.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he's not going to be your number one guy. He's had 2 Achilles tendon tears. You got to be careful in what you can expect from him and how much you use him, I think. But he had something there. I think with Damian Pierce, Damian just might not be a good zone blocking runner. And I'll make partial excuses in that the blocking was not pristine for him at all. And yet, some of the plays that were real negative still probably should have been 3 or 4 yard gains. There's still an element of like, all right, no, there's that window, take it. You might have to beat a linebacker in the hole, but that's what good running backs do. He's not decisively taking those opportunities. Yeah. So I think there's opportunities for him in certain Damian Pierce packages and what have you. But more than anything, they really need Joe Mixon, who was out there at practice yesterday, looked healthy by your reports and others. So I'm not feeling great about Damian Pierce right this moment.
Yeah, no, and we're going to do stock down here in a minute. Spoiler alert, Damian's on the list. The wide receiver position is very interesting. There's a stock down there as well, but Robert Woods will not go down without a fight when it comes to his spot on this team. He had 4 catches. He was kind of like what Xavier Hutchinson was in the Hall of Fame game, you know? Like, those are 2 guys that are fighting for a spot right now, and Xavier Hutchinson in that Hall of Fame game was right where he needed to be on every play. He had 6 targets and 5 catches. Robert Woods had 4 catches for 42 yards, had a big conversion on a 3rd and 15 where Davis Mills kind of had to navigate a little traffic in the pocket and then just flipped it to him, and it was a nice catch and run. Go for the sticks, set up Dari Ogunbowale's touchdown.
Yeah, yeah. So, Woods has that thing, again, kind of like with Cam Akers, where there's a reliability there. And not with Cam Akers, but just an indefinable part of it that you got to remember, that when it comes to the regular season, your resume matters.
Yeah.
And that, man, sometimes being a safety blanket, it's used derisively at times, but no, that's a good thing to have somebody that's just exactly what he's always been. His man, he's exactly where the quarterback expects him to be and is gonna, and the quarterback can let go of it whether he's well covered or not. It's hard to make some decisions in this receiver
room. Is, man, the receiver room and the running back room. I think the defensive tackle room is gonna have some interesting decisions to be made.
Yeah.
As far as one more, I'll call it stock up only because he was the only guy that I could notice out there that got this sort of treatment in the game. Allie Gay, the former LSU defensive end. You know, you're watching early in the game, and we know Will Anderson didn't play in the game, so they're going with other, they're mixing and matching a defensive end, and you go, okay, who's this number 90 out here? Well, it's Allie Gay, and he's a big, long athlete, not super bulky, but just kind of, you know, for a defensive end, kind of skinny, but big and long and athletic. And so he's out there in the first quarter, like, oh, good for him, good for him. And then you look in the second quarter, and he's still out there. In the third quarter, and the fourth quarter, and Allie Gay winds up with 33 snaps in a preseason game, which is like, the conversion chart for that is like playing 70 snaps in a regular season game.
With Allie Gay, even though he's been in the league for a bit now, he's a guy that, if I recall properly, had an injury in college and was always... almost like a Manute Bol version of a defensive lineman, where, man, there's something there. He's really long, but he's just got to grow into his man strength, and he's got to refine his game somewhat. I feel like he's grown into his man strength. He uses his hands really well. Now some of it is just refining his game. There was one play on the broadcast where they pinned it on him for losing contain, but I actually think it was a defensive back that had the force on that play. But then there was another play where Allie Gay had a wide receiver lined up outside him. It's a crack position where he's going to crack block you, crack down on you. And he was just completely oblivious to it. And he got knocked out of the picture inside and did lose the force on that. Like, there's some really good moments in that game. There's also some moments where he looked really raw. So I think they see the potential, and they're trying to bring him along as much as possible. But he's done some really good things both in practice and in the game.
Does your eye test for that game with Allie Gay match his PFF score? Because he had the 3rd best Pro Football Focus score on the team, 79.9.
Is that a good score?
That's a good score. That's a real. That's like a dark blue.
Is a good score?
Yeah, 79 is a good score. Okay. Yeah.
I hate those scores so much. Sure.
He was
good.
He was good
right
in the game. Yeah, yeah, like a B plus maybe in the game, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah. But I don't think there's still things about him that concern me for playing against starters
for sure.
But yes, there's something there. Yeah. He's just got to keep coming along.
Yeah. My guess is they try to sneak him through and get him on the practice squad, but we'll see. We'll see. We're going to get to acknowledge me here in a few minutes. We got a lot more people to praise and acknowledge me, some of whom are being praised on the text page already. Don't worry, we'll get to our new punter, people. Don't you worry. As far as stock down goes for the Texans, Seth, from the game on Friday and just in general right now, I think we've hit Dameon Pierce sufficiently in this segment. You touched on him earlier. John Mechie's the other one. He had a game a lot like the game that he had in the Hall of Fame game. One inconsequential short catch and then another drop for John Mechie. He's just not getting it done right now.
I think that John Mechie has made a lot of progress, I think, physically from where he's been, but it just doesn't look like he's integrated himself into the offense in scrimmage situations and game situations.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of other receivers right now that have just flashed a lot more,
both in
practice and in the games. Quintez Cephas continues to show up. Like, he always shows up. Every few practices, he'll make some snag that is really impressive. He's done it in the game now. Ben Skoranek continues to show up. Xavier Hutchinson. I don't even say Xavier Hutchinson. He doesn't do it in flashes. He's just been way more consistent.
Yeah.
You know, I think that as of this moment right now, I'd have to say that you can't. Even though I still think there's more growth for John Mechie. But he's just not as far along as a lot of those other guys. Johnny Johnson, Steven Sims, a lot of those guys have just flashed a lot more than
all of them. Other than the Yankee twin, all of them have made plays in preseason games so far.
And the drops with Mechie are a big deal because he needs to be the reliable one.
Right.
You know, he's not fast and slippery enough to get away with, he's got some drops, but boy, he affects the defense. No, he needs to be the guy that takes advantage of other people affecting the defense.
If it keeps trending this way, like if the Giants game goes the same way for Dameon Pierce and John Mechie as this last game did, and in the case of Mechie, the way training camp's been going for him, then I think I think Nick is on the phone calling teams to see if he can get a day three pick or do one of those Dameon and a six for a fifth kind of thing with both of those guys.
And we've seen, like, we saw this
with
both
David. Sorry, Seth. They'd both get picked up very quickly if they got cut, I think. Both of them.
Yeah. Do you think John Mechie gets picked up quickly?
Yes. Yeah. Just basically, by some team that, for sure.
I think right now he reminds me a lot of David Quesenberry, who came back from cancer but just wasn't the same guy the first year or two that he came back, and then eventually worked his way into being a fringe everyday starter.
Yeah.
And so there was something there. And, you know, yes, he kept getting opportunities after he got completely recovered. So, there's going to be other teams out there that are, including the Texans, I think, that are trying to say, like, all right, it's a unique situation because of his cancer. But we just got to look at his scouting report and say, is that still in him?
Yes.
And I think there's some of his scouting report that, you feel like that's still in him.
Yeah, I'm just saying he'll get picked up. He might be wherever he gets picked up next for 2 weeks, and then he's gone again. But he's a former 44th overall pick.
Yeah, when I say his scouting report, I mean his draft scouting report.
Yes, yes. I would say one other. How do you think Juice Scruggs played? He gave up a bad sack early in the game.
Well, he gave up a bad sack that included Chris Reed was combo blocking him there.
Yeah,
Juice Scruggs is still a work in progress, and it's always really hard with the centers and the guards to pin it on one specifically.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with him starting. I think he's kind of in that same boat of Blake Fisher, where you see the good and you see where there's some potential. Some of the real bad miscues with guys coming free up the middle have been about the timing and coordination between the center and guard and just the decisions you make in the moment. So that's just hopefully something you can clean up.
Yep. One more stock down. Seth kind of touched on it before. Stock down for the internet, there's a big chunk of the internet that seems hell-bent on misinterpreting every Stephon Diggs interaction on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as you pointed out earlier, this, you know, Stephon Diggs is probably just over there chopping it up about football and with C.J. Stroud, and it's a very benign conversation.
Right. Stephon Diggs and C.J. Stroud were just having a conversation on the sideline. Looked like Stephon Diggs was explaining what some aspect of route running based on what you're seeing from the defensive back. That's what it looked like to me. And C.J. was kind of like listening, interjected, all that. And I think it's very easy, if you go into that with a certain filter, to look at it like they were having an argument. Where really, I mean, it just looked like exactly what we've seen out there in practice every day.
Yeah.
Which the players, both on offense and defense, have been gushing about with Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
It makes me wonder, too. I mean, sometimes, you know, like CJ is perfectly fine having really blunt conversations when it comes to football.
Yep.
I think that's why he and Bobby Sloat get along. I don't think either one of them gets sensitive at all. Remember after the Panthers game when CJ said we just got to be more aggressive and said some things in a way that almost sounded like he was criticizing Bobby Slowick? Mm-hmm. I think that was the exact same conversation. I think he and Bobby Slowick probably got together and just had a nuts and bolts conversation and where neither side is getting sensitive.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I tried to evaluate whether I was just being a homer and looking at it or not. That's what I've seen from those guys out at practice every day.
Yeah.
And everybody is gushing about it.
Yes.
So I don't know. Maybe Sean McDermott just doesn't have a capacity for nuts and bolts talk on his football team.
Maybe
up
not.
There in Buffalo.
Here was Tank Dell after the game down on the field with Mike Garafolo when Garafolo asked him about Stephon Diggs.
You get to the end zone, you get the handshake from Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
What's he meant for you and your entire receiving corps?
Yeah, that's my brother, man. He's been a good inspiration, a big inspiration for sure. He's been leading, you know, everybody, like, not only him, you know, Nico, Woody, everybody's been leading, but, man, he stepped up and took that role of leadership and helping us out, you know, with routes, with everything we need, man. So he's been great.
Yeah, he's been great. Come on, Internet, be better. He's been great. Stop being such a troll. I'm trying to enjoy the Stephon Diggs era here in Houston.
I'll let the Buffalo look. Buffalo's starting defense, by the way, was out there versus Caleb Williams, and when Caleb Williams was going off,
yeah,
and he did. Like, man, it's the preseason, but Caleb Williams had a hell of a performance in that game.
Dude.
It's a preseason, and he's facing starters, but he's facing vanilla defenses. I'm not. I did a video this weekend where I jokingly called him Rookie of the Year after two snaps. And boy, did people take that literally.
Really?
People have been hating on me, who they think is a Bears fan, and about what a homer I am for the Bears.
Yeah, that's all you talk about is the Chicago Bears.
I'm like, dude, actually, no, I want him to fail, at least early in the season.
Week two, for sure.
Texans,
yeah,
right? There was an impressive performance. Take it for what it is.
A lot of the rookies. A lot of the rookies had good weeks.
Jaden Daniels, okay, I'm...
It was one drive.
I'm fascinated. It was one play, really.
Yeah.
He checked. They had something conservative called on 3rd and 6. He didn't like it, so he checked into this 4-vertical college football game and went for it to a backup receiver versus a non-Sauce Gardner defensive back, but took a deep strike. But he had 3 passes in that game. He was 2 for 3, and he had a nice run on the goal line. That one is the ultimate. Like, all right, I'm going to take this with a grain of salt, because afterwards, Dan Quinn, who's the, you know, he's the super Pete Carroll wannabe positive all the time.
Yep.
He didn't. I don't think he was happy about the fact that Jaden Daniels checked into what he checked into on that play, but he did it on his own. And with the endorsement of Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn lost a Super Bowl because his offensive coordinator was hyper-aggressive and had no regard for game management. Now Cliff Kingsbury is his offensive coordinator.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That's funny.
It was a nice throw and catch by it was a nice throw by Jaden Daniels.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm pulling for Jaden Daniels way more than I am pulling for Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm. I like Jaden Daniels.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's do acknowledge me. Let's acknowledge the big performances from the weekend. We do it every Monday. I will recite a name. Ben, you got that old hockey ready in there? You got that ready to go? I'll recite the name. Ben gives you the... Oh, you are? Okay. All right, Ben's having some issues in there.
No, Ben.
The issue's resolved. The music just changed.
Is it that adult diapers issue I was talking about earlier in the show?
Do I want to? Okay. Do I need, Ben, just tell me this. Do I need to say acknowledge me instead of the computer right now?
Acknowledge.
There we go. There we go. All right. Let's get it going. Spencer Arrighetti.
Acknowledge me.
We acknowledge Spencer Arrighetti and his huge performance from the from this weekend, but really back-to-back starts now. First rookie in AL history to have back-to-back 12-plus strikeout games. And he only gave up two hits. They were both home runs. He looked dominant. Again, dominant against... This isn't like when he dominated Colorado earlier in the year in a game that I was at where he just, like, Colorado looked... He was just throwing everything right in the middle of the zone and saying, go ahead, Colorado, yeah. See if you can hit it. The Red Sox have been the hottest team in baseball since the All-Star break, offensively. Their pitching stinks, but offensively, they've been the hottest team since
Arrighetti,
the All-Star break.
Once Arrighetti made that almost psychological adjustment in being more aggressive and understanding when to throw strikes and when not to. Remember, because for a little while he was being aggressive, but he was throwing lots of strikes with his aggression, and it wasn't working out so hot. He's found that balance, and I he's gotten way better, too, at kind of working through some of the adversity sometimes and not getting frustrated. He's almost done... He's done in the course of one season kind of what it took Framber 3 years to do.
Yeah,
I think it's just really, managing all the emotional side of it. And it's been really fun to watch. Yeah. Arrighetti's been a pleasant, pleasant development.
Indeed. Let's get to Yordan Alvarez. Yordan Alvarez, Ben.
Acknowledge.
Thank you. There we go. We acknowledge Yordan Alvarez. Road Yordan is a monster. At Minute Maid Park this year, he's been... by his standards, very average. On the road, particularly at Fenway, he is an absolute beast. He's got 5 home runs in his last 5 games. He was 6-for-10 with 3 home runs, bunch of RBIs, had a double in there mixed in against the Red Sox this weekend. Yordan does this, man, every year where he'll go a bit of a spell, which he did. He went like 3.5 weeks with 1 home run, and then he hits a home run, and then it's like the pipes are unclogged.
The whole thing about Yordan and his slumps is that he still has like an 800 OPS.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yordan's slump is like Superman having a sprained ankle.
Right.
You're like, oh, all right, he's down for the count a little bit.
Right.
Or he sniffed some kryptonite at a party a couple weeks ago, and he isn't quite right just yet.
Wait. The bullets are still bouncing off his chest. Okay.
Right. He's a little bit weakened, but he's still really good. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess Superman, when he got depressed that time for a little bit, he was up in his ice palace.
His fortress of solitude. Yeah. It was.
I call it his ice palace. That's what he deserves.
Not to his face.
You're a fancy little princess. Get your ass back in the game.
Say that to Superman's face.
Say that to Yordan's face. I thought Yordan was staring at me when we were sitting behind home plate the other night, and I was actually kind of like, I was like, oh crap, I gotta don't do it. Don't get alpha'd by Framber or by Yordan. But it took every ounce of it took every ounce not to stare away.
All right, let's get to. Cal McNair. Ben, I need to do a verbal acknowledge me.
Acknowledge me!
That's for Cal McNair. Yeah, Cal McNair, for those who missed it, Luke Combs had a couple shows at NRG Stadium this weekend. And at the Saturday show, Texans were back in town from the Pittsburgh game on Friday. At the Saturday show, Luke Combs had several Houston Texans come up on stage. And Cal and Hannah McNair were up on stage as well. And they were up there, they're dapping up Luke Combs. And at one point, Luke Combs pulls out a beer.
Yeah.
They hand Cal McNair a beer. And Luke Combs and Cal McNair share in the ultimate bro symbolic bonding gesture. They shotgunned a beer together up on stage. And the crowd went wild. Big pop.
It looked like Cal was... Cal didn't... I don't know if he's pulled off the full 100% successful shotgunning. But then he made up for it by... punting the can off stage.
It was quite the performance. He punted the can. The crowd went nuts for this thing. Okay, now I've got...
It's hard to punt a small object wearing denim, you know?
Denim and probably cowboy boots.
I don't think he was wearing stretchy pants.
No?
Yeah, like wearing denim, old school denim, and cowboy boots that don't give you the best ankle flexion. He still punted it. He punted it. The punt was better than the shotgun.
Yeah, and Tommy Townsend was standing right next to him, and I think Tommy Townsend, you know, gave the. I think he acknowledged and approved of the punt and gave it the stamp of approval. Now I've got a little intel when it comes to this shotgun that Cal did at the concert. Okay,
I hear you've got it from a source very close to Cal.
Very close to Cal,
like millimeters from Cal.
Possibly yes. Right now, millimeters from him. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
One reportedly, according to sources.
Yeah.
Cal needed to be told what a shotgun was.
I was surprised by that.
I was surprised by that part of it.
I mean, yeah. he was on the, you know, I feel like this might have been the precursor to the University of Texas football team having some of the issues that it would have. Even after Cal left, they did manage to win a national championship.
they did, yes.
But that vein of pomposity almost, it hurt them for a while. I feel like if a college football player doesn't know how to shotgun a beer, why are you even in college? My God.
Yeah, not even a football player, like college student, you know? And so,
yeah.
So I was a little surprised about that. And given that, I thought he really handled it like a pro. You know, like, are you telling me not only was that his first one, he didn't know what it was? Number two, originally Luke Combs wanted all the players up on stage to shotgun a beer with him. So there's, you know, maybe a dozen guys up there, however many guys were up there. He wanted all of them to do it. But Cal told Luke Combs that, no, man, it's the season right now. You know, these guys are in training. I'll do it for them. I'll take one for the team here.
He's like the general grabbing a rifle and leading the charge.
That's 100%.
He's like, nope. I'll die with the rest. I'll die for you.
I got this. Yeah, I got this.
He sacrificed his BAC for his team.
You know,
I did notice. A million aggregator accounts chose to have the headline that C.J. Stroud shotgunned a beer on stage by
posting a video where he never had a beer in his hand.
You watch for 15 seconds, and you're like, yeah, it caught my attention because I'm like, okay, well, C.J. doesn't drink.
Right.
So this will be interesting. Yeah. Was it an N.A.? I don't know. And, so the vile scum, those people.
Yeah.
Not that I would have been distraught if he had shotgunned a beer, but... It's a 15-second video. Get the damn story right.
It's crazy. But, man, Cal...
So Cal fell on his beer can for the rest of them.
He did.
He just wanted to... Yeah.
He shotgunned to atone for everybody else's non-shotgunning, is what he did.
Acknowledge me!
Thank you, Ben. We'll acknowledge him again.
Remember, CJ, the other day we played that audio of him in that interview where he was talking about how he realized sometimes he gets on these podcasts and he starts using language that he doesn't normally use because he's with the guys. And that's not a good example to set for the kids.
Right.
So I feel like, yeah, CJ who doesn't drink, getting up there and succumbing to peer pressure and shotgunning a beer, that's exactly what you don't want your high school kids doing, you know?
And you know who knows that? Yeah. Cal McNair, that's who knows that. Yeah.
I wonder if Cal didn't have to learn how to do it with his key or anything like that.
I think it got handed to him with the hole in it already. Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to shotgun a beer and all of a sudden somebody's like, just use one of your keys.
Well,
and you're like, my key doesn't even have any metal on it anymore. It's a fob.
Especially because there's like a 50% chance it geysers right up into your face when you poke the hole in it.
That's true, too.
I mean?
Yeah.
It's pretty embarrassing for anybody, let alone a billionaire owner of a football team.
Did Hannah have any input into that? Did she suggest to Cal, like, okay, why don't you do it?
Why don't you shotgun? I don't know. That's a good question. She was up there on
Hannah's
stage.
Hannah's the one that told you this, right?
She. That's where I got my information, yes. The inside story.
You can
story,
trust that source.
The inside story of Cal McNair's shotgun. You can only get that here on Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610. So, yes.
That's the news we drop. It comes to shotgunning a beer. That's the stuff you can trust us with.
That's way more fun than trades and draft fodder and whatnot. Owner shotgunning beers. It's actually
Ayuk's going to the Steelers.
And they don't even get it right. I got all that right. That everything we just said, I have it from reliable sources. And that Cal punted the shotgunned beer into the crowd is actually a good segue to Tommy Townsend.
Acknowledge me.
Told Quez Watkins, the Steelers punt returner, who bobbled and muffed that punt. Literally just ran up on the scene. Tommy Townsend did and said, "Catch the ball, B." But he said the word. He didn't just say the B. He said the word.
This is where. Okay, so that happened. That was one of the first drives, was it not?
Yes.
Was it early in the game? It happened before Cam.
It happened. That led to the Daria Gumbawale touchdown. Second touchdown that led to.
When did Cam Johnson? Who did what first? Did Tommy Townsend say that, or did Cam Johnson take a cheap shot on Tank Dell?
Cam went first.
That?
Cam hit Dell early, and then that muffed punt happened after that. Yeah.
So Cam Johnston tried to be a big man by hitting one of the smallest players in the league out of bounds.
Yeah.
You want to prove, like, hey, I used to play Aussie Rules football, mate. His Aussie Rules football team should disown him after that nonsense.
Yes.
Hitting Tank Dell out of bounds in a preseason game. Yeah. Yeah, good luck for Australia there, Cam Johnston.
And meanwhile, Tommy Townsend is on his way to Ring of Honor status with Texan fans right now. They love that clip of him calling Quez Watkins a B.I.
Dude, he's got some rock star elements to him, Tommy
Long
Townsend
hair,
does.
Long hair, man.
He's like a lead guitarist, man. He just goes out there and slays it.
Wiry frame.
And then talks trash afterwards. He's like a rock star who jumps out in the stage to fight some or jumps off the stage to fight somebody
in
the crowd.
Yeah, yeah. It was cool. It was like we got to flaunt our upgraded hot new punter girlfriend right in front of our haggard ex-wife, Cam Johnston. Like, hey, look who's with me now, huh? Mm-hmm. Rock star over here with the flowing locks. You're a Bill Burr lookalike, you clown.
Yeah, you're a wannabe Patty Mills. Yeah. Like, I don't know
Patty
you.
That's it. All right, let's do one more here. Let's get a little Olympics in. This hurts a little bit, I know, for Rocket fans. We got to acknowledge Steph Curry.
Acknowledge me!
Steph Curry was the best player on the planet in the last two games of the Olympics. He almost single-handedly bailed the U.S. out in the semifinal game with 36 points. And then he was unconscious in the gold medal game against France. He hit 8 threes, including this circus shot with 32 seconds left in the game to put the U.S. up 9.
Durant, back to Curry. Dancing on Batum. Over the double team. Oh! It's a golden dagger!
Night!
Curry! Unconscious in the fourth!
That was Noah Eagle on the call for NBC. That shot... He had Kevin Durant and LeBron James, the two greatest players of this generation, arguably, wide open, standing at the three-point line across the court. And Steph's like, nope, I'm going to fade away and chuck it over these two guys, and he just knocks it down.
The one guy on earth that you can do that, and you're like, yeah, I get it. So do we have a I grudgingly acknowledge you drop? We need something like, I grudgingly acknowledge you,
No,
Steph Curry.
I'll try to find one today.
Hard for me not to look at any great Steph Curry moment and just not think of the championships that... He didn't rob them from the Rockets. He just took them.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yep. Here's what it sounded like. These people are definitely, if they're acknowledging Steph Curry, doing it very begrudgingly. Here was the French call of Steph's shot.
Nike renverse pour Kevin Durant. Il a la main chaude, Steph Curry. Il a la main chaude. Il a la main chaude.
C'est pas possible.
Il a la main chaude, Steph Curry.
Were they calling him a cow?
Le cochon. No, that's a pig. I speak a little bit
vache,
of French.
Vache is a cow. Yeah. Is French for a cow. He's saying like vachon or something.
The French don't get as hyped up as some of the other nationalities. Like, I thought Noah Eagle was channeling like a little bit of like, kind of like his, you know, like the Mexican calls of things like that, where they go, oh! Like the really
French don't. I don't think they do anything where it's just not a sneer.
Right.
That's kind of their permanent. It's like their perma bitch face is like their perma sneer.
Yes.
So it's almost. Perma even if bitch. The French had won, they're like, yeah, we won for now.
Yep.
But every day has its twilight. They will learn.
French Seth. All right. Preseason storylines that Texan fans may have to pay attention to. There was a lot of stuff going on around the league this weekend that Texan fans may have to pay attention to, and especially early in the season. We will tell you what that is coming up next.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.